Bike Riot started in 2003, and annually they work with over 20,000 individuals. But the idea was born in 2000 when directors Joe Somerset and Liz Clark needed cycle training for their kids and couldn't find suitable schemes within primary schools. I asked if it was inspired by the old cycling proficiency.
That's exactly right, but it had fallen into abeyance because it wasn't a statutory duty anymore for the police anymore. So it was left to local authorities on their own with dwindling resources. They did, especially in Manchester, they did very little indeed. So we actually, over the course of a year, we met with the council and persuaded them that we would be able to run exactly the same sort of training they were doing for children on roads of the same age group, but we could do it in a very cost-effective way if they outsourced it to us.
As a kid, I was always herring around on my bike. I think as a parent now, I'd be somewhat scared about my children maybe heading onto the roads. And I suppose you want to, as an organisation, educate cyclists and drivers, don't you?
Yes, absolutely. And where it started in the early 2000s was a new standard called Bikeability was developed, which coincided with what we were doing in terms of getting Bike Right established. So that was a national standard for cycle training that was developed in conjunction with the Department for Transport. And it took account of today's busy roads. It applied to cyclists of all ages, so children and adults of any age. And because it was sort of set at three levels, creatively called level one, two, and three, it coped with beginner riders through the sort of more regular and then advanced riders as well, with the purpose of establishing cyclists as part of the traffic that needed to be taken account of by motorised traffic.
That's the thing, isn't it? It seems that everyone blames everyone else, and drivers will have a go at cyclists and cyclists will have a go at drivers. It's a way, and it's probably a long way off further than you want it to be, but it's about everybody working together and recognising each other and being safe for each other.
That's absolutely right. And in fact, the traffic statistics, we don't tend to look at them too closely here because our main thing is that we are teaching people who are riding bikes how to ride safely by being seen on the road. And now we're teaching drivers how to recognise when a cyclist is riding safely. And it is a real education for them because they think, as do many cyclists themselves, that they should be riding in the gutter and try and keep as far, you know, almost off the road, but actually in order to be safe and for everybody to take account of everybody else, it is about the space on the road being shared.
And that's the thing, as a non-cyclist but as a driver, you do go along and sometimes you think, well, there was a bike lane there 2 minutes ago and suddenly it's finished, or I wouldn't want to drive ride through that massive pothole, or that, you know, gutter looks like it's flooded or whatever. Things aren't necessarily as safe as they should be for many different reasons, but things aren't as safe as they should be for cyclists, and that's something that drivers need to be aware of.
Yeah, we've got an awful long way to go, I think, in terms of the condition of the roads and the state of the whole road network. You know, I'm a driver as well, and it's not always obvious to me, you know, what could be seen from a cyclist's point of view, especially potholes and puddles. They're two, you know, major things. So I think one of the things we're trying to educate the drivers into is that cyclists are following their own code of conduct and code of highway code, if you like. So if they pull out, there is a reason for it. And if that reason is that they're avoiding a massive puddle, that's actually legitimate, you know, first of all about avoiding a soaking, but also they don't know what's underneath in that puddle. So you know, the government's sort of line now is that each kind of side of the divide, if you like, should be looking out for each other. So drivers should be looking out for cyclists, but also cyclists should be looking out for drivers, and it should be a mutual way of conducting themselves.
So as a cyclist, if you're brave enough to miss the potholes, how easy is it to use a bike and public transport to get around? Pete Abel, the policy analyst, explained more.
England's not brilliant for putting bikes and public transport together. It's fine if you have a very small folding bike like a Brompton, but if you have a standard bike, you can't take it on the tram, you can't take it on a bus, and it's kind of difficult on most of the intercity trains. So in comparison to many of our European cities, it's quite difficult to travel with a bike on public transport. Many other countries in Europe and North America make it much easier. That's not a role that Bike Right plays, but there are other organisations lobbying to make it much easier, which, after all, we see would be a great way of combining long distance with the short distance. People refer to it as the problem of the last mile, which, if you want to catch a bus or get to the train station, how do you get there? And often it's quite difficult, so people choose to drive, whereas if you combine your bike with a bus or a tram or a train, it's much easier. So when you get to the other end and you've got a half a mile or a mile to walk, there's a little bit of a way to go. It's quite quick on a bike. So we would like to see Britain join the rest of Europe, really, and make it much easier. Any congestion or increase in driving, if you turn it round, one of the key reasons people give for not cycling is the amount of traffic on the roads. So anything that can help reduce the volume of traffic, particularly at peak times, will help it be easier for people to think, yeah, it's okay, I'll cycle. And increasing now, particularly with tram stops in Greater Manchester, they're putting in secure and convenient cycle storage, so you know your bike's going to be there when you get back in the evening.
Pete also told me that sometimes you have to book a place for your bike and sometimes pay for it. So if you're a family of four and you just fancy a day out, there might not be room for your bikes and it could be expensive. Now, admittedly, not being able to take your bike on a train might not seem like a safety issue, but if there were more bikes on the roads, maybe provision would be better. And as Joe said earlier, we'd be used to sharing the roads with cyclists. So what about those professional drivers who attend the course towards their periodic training? Well, the thought of sitting in a classroom for 7 hours, I doubt, appeals to many people, especially if you have to be there and it's not through choice. But in effect, how do you make health and safety interesting? Well, the course ranges from group discussions to getting on a bike and viewing videos from helmet cams, and some of them are scary. Yes, you could have a go at a lorry driver for cutting a cyclist up, but if that cyclist has positioned themselves between a pavement and the lorry cab, they're just not going to be seen. Colin is a senior instructor and explained more about what's being taught and why.
At the start of the day, there is, quite a bit of a perception of, what can you tell me about driving on the roads, and I know all about driving and cycling. And many people think that, whether they're drivers or cyclists, that, there's nothing that they personally can come and learn about it. But also a bit of worry, maybe in the backs of their minds, because they know that at some point of the day they're going to be expected to get on a bike and go out and do some cycling on busy roads. And so one of the first things I do is sort of allay the fears and say, look, it's not about a bike ride, it's about looking at what we do when we do cycle training. Basically, I show the drivers what the cycle training is and what we teach cyclists. So by doing that, hopefully give them a bit more awareness of what it is that they're looking at when they see cyclists in different positions on the road, and who is vulnerable and who might not be vulnerable, and who they might have thought was, in a wrong position, but is actually, then they realise why they're there and why they're doing that, and so on and so forth.
Vulnerable is a very strong, emotive word. Actually, anyone who uses the road, lorry driver, cyclist, pedestrian, anyone is vulnerable because of other people's actions and other people's behaviours, and sometimes their own as well.
Absolutely, yeah. It's a bit of a funny term, because you say vulnerable road users and people immediately think pedestrian, cyclist, motorcyclist. And yeah, those people are at a higher risk of injury in a collision. It doesn't necessarily mean to say that they're at a higher risk of collision. It depends on the scenario. But at the end of the day, it doesn't matter who's involved in a collision on the road. Everybody gets affected by it in a massive way. So really, anybody's a vulnerable road user. And people in massive, great big, in the biggest articulated lorries can also be involved and be hurt and harmed and injured in road traffic accidents. So anybody could be a vulnerable road user. Bus drivers, we had a lot of bus drivers today, and the things that the bus driver's got to deal with, with the passengers and the things that passengers do, and the complexities of constantly pulling in and out of traffic and dealing with cyclists as they're pulling in and out of traffic and dealing with cars that won't let them pull out. And there's so many things involved that, yeah, they're a vulnerable road user because they've got stress in the job. So it is quite a bit of a funny term, that vulnerable, who is vulnerable out on the road.
I think some of the things as well that we've seen in the videos with regards to the cycle cams, instantly you think people, stupidity is a big word that springs to mind, But going back to what you mentioned about the bus drivers, the problem is as well, you're not just focusing in this day and age on the road. People, unfortunately, are affected by their mobile phones, by their passengers, by the weather, by what's on the radio. There's so much for everyone to concentrate on that actually it's quite a responsibility getting in a car these days.
Yeah, it is. It is. And that's, you know, part of the reason for this course is that these professional drivers, they are involved, you know, they are driving the biggest vehicles on the road. So we kind of think, okay, let's give the professional drivers a bit extra training. There's also a lot of cycle training out there. We train an awful lot of cyclists each year, a massive number of cyclists each year. So that, you know, to try and help them with that assessment of risk and with them sort of awarenesses that they need to have. There is an awful lot to contend with when you get behind the wheel of a car or on your bike or whatever. I do kind of think that these courses are absolutely brilliant, but ultimately it's a bit of a sticking patch approach because the ultimate solution is good quality infrastructure. You know, as a cycle instructor, we take these cyclists out and quite often teach them about how not to use cycle lanes because they're not always the safest thing that, you know, to use, even though it kind of looks that they are at first glance. I do understand people's worries. You know, you think to yourself, oh, I'd like to cycle to work, you know, today. I should start cycling to work, but I'm kind of a bit worried about sharing the road with the other road users. I think at the end of the day, you've got to remember that nobody wants to have a collision. Most people are doing their best to make sure they don't have a collision every single time they go out.
And the professionals who were on the course? Mark is an operations manager at Bullock's Coaches in Cheadle, and I asked him what he thought of the practical element.
It's been an eye-opener, really, to see how cyclists view large vehicles, i.e. buses and coaches, and it's also been good for me and the drivers to see how we view the cyclists and how they act and react. It's exactly why we've chose this course, to make our drivers aware of cyclists and pedestrians, other road users, and how to make it safe for everybody.
And how did you find the actual practical side of it?
That was the best part of it. Yeah, it was really good, really good fun. I've not ridden a bike myself for about 3-4 years. A little bit rusty, but it was really good fun.
You don't just get taken around side roads, you get taken onto busy routes, don't you?
Yeah, we were on Alan Turing Way and we were at Ashton Hill Road, which was, you know, you got lorries flying past you, buses, cars. It's quite nerve-wracking, but it was good, really good.
And for your drivers, do you think that practical side of it is going to be invaluable? Because that's where they're really going to learn, isn't it?
Yes, because we brushed up on the laws and regulations, like, you know, how cyclists don't necessarily, they have the choice whether to use a cycle lane or not to use a cycle lane. And it's just basically showing that we don't want any incidents with cyclists, and it's just a good refresher for all the drivers and ourselves.
Another Mark is a driver, and he said he was surprised that he'd enjoyed the course and told me why.
Getting out and about on the bike, it was good fun, really. A lot more fun than I was expecting, to be honest. I'm a bit overweight and stuff, you know. Comfy in my car.
Obviously, you drive professionally, and you're aware of cyclists. Being out and about, did it open your eyes? Were there any kind of real sort of moments of, right, I need to be more aware?
Just giving them more room. You need, you know, on the bike you're emphasising how much extra space you need that you perhaps don't realise when you're in a vehicle.
Been on some really busy routes on the bikes today. How was that for you?
Pretty daunting, really, especially as I'm, you know, a bit wobbly on it. Well, you know, I'd like to say I'd take my kids out more often on their bikes.
And do you think, obviously, with kids nowadays, getting them to cycle and to cycle safely can only be a good thing for the future, for your kids' health, for the environment, that kind of thing?
100%, yeah. You know, road safety is very high up on my list for my own kids as well as everybody else's. And the health issues speak for themselves.
So, invaluable experience for the drivers and the possibility of the younger generation getting on the roads. It seems like a good outcome. Does Colin see a change in attitude from the start to the end of the day?
Yeah, the change is fantastic. The change is absolutely brilliant. And the feedback is always fantastic.